Certainly thankful for the prayer which was publicly offered on our behalf, and would ask that you would pray for this service, that the word of the Lord might have free course, it might be honored and glorified, and that it might be received in our hearts and make a difference in our lives. You know, we see, we live in a time, and I've preached a lot about the truth, and that's not necessarily the subject on my mind, but you know, last Sunday, we read from 2 Timothy chapter 4, where it said the time will come, you know, that they will not endure sound doctrine. In other words, healthy teaching, and that's, we go back in the Old Testament, we see other times that they didn't endure healthy instruction. We know that many have taken God's truth and turned it into a lie, and they worship the creature more than they worship the Creator, and that's not just about the natural use of the body being taken away, as it speaks of in Romans 1. But you can go to the conclusions of Romans 1, and it goes into all kinds of other things. You know, anything we do that's opposed to the teachings of God's Word, if we do it, we've taken God's truth and we've made it a lie in our minds, and we follow after that. It's just the way it is, whether you say that or not. When we oppose God and when we sin, we... And what really gets bad is when we sin enough in a certain area or a certain sin that we decided that it's okay, that the evil is good and the good is evil, as we spoke of last Sunday. That has happened in the past, and from the reading I have in God's Word, we can expect that to happen again, and I suspect we're entering into that type of season. John chapter 8, we're told that Satan himself was a liar from the beginning and the father of lies. One of the greatest tactics that Satan has is to help God's people along to believe a lie. Unfortunately, in the world we live in today, it's much easier to believe a lie than it is to believe the truth. I don't think it was any different in the days back. In John chapter 6, it says in verse 60, well, let's get 59, it says, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, this is his people, when they heard this, they said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? Among Christians today, you'd be surprised how many people, when you preach a truth, whatever the truth you're preaching, whether it's the moral truth or truth, salvation by grace, it's just hard for them to swallow it. It's a hard saying. And it goes on down here, and it says from that verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. This was God manifest in the flesh. This wasn't some preacher, just some ordinary preacher or prophet to come up to these folks. This was the God of heaven, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one that spoke all that we have into existence. And these folks turned and walked away. He had just preached to them sovereign grace, really. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And on goes the list. No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. He laid this out in John chapter 6, a great doctrinal theatrical book, if you would, of the instruction, especially pertaining to salvation. And these folks just said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? I'm going to tell you, you'd find that in most churches today, especially probably if I went to preach to them. That's a hard saying, who can hear it? But when you preach the truth sometimes, it seems to be hard to swallow, if you would. Seems to be hard to digest. It's very simple. It's very simple, but yet it's hard. He then goes to his own, the 12, the original 12, and he says, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? You know, I mean, he's getting down here from, he's thinning the crowd out pretty good, is he not? Will you also go away? And, you know, Peter being that bold disciple, you know, he got himself in trouble. But I tell you, you got to admire Peter. He got out of the boat, and he did walk on water for a little bit. But he attempted to do something. He was a worker, if you would. He was someone. He wasn't sitting back. So I admire him for that. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where could I go but to the Lord? That song we just sang, I think, is something that we need to consider in every aspect of life. Where could we go but unto the Lord? I think so often this world, and even among Christians, they're seeking answers in places they ought not to be seeking them. The answer is in God's word. The answer is with the Lord. It's not with men and philosophies and ideas that we have out here. The things of this life are temporal. They're short-lived. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. But we're told in Matthew 24 that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. God's words will never pass away. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. They're complete. There are no impurities in God's word. God's word is pure. And God said, Thou shalt preserve them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. We have the Bible today because God himself is preserving his word. God is sovereign. It's something that most Christians in the world would proclaim. And yet by the practice that they have and the things that they do, you know they don't believe in the sovereignty of God. Because we believe that God is not only sovereign in his governing of the people and the moral society and the nations that we live in, but that God is sovereign in the salvation of his people. And had God not been sovereign in that work, no people would be in heaven at all. That's what the Bible teaches us. Sovereignty is something that helps us to understand that God is true. We believe his truth because of the things we read in the Word of God, because he is sovereign. Our God, and we're told in the 113th Psalms, is in the heaven. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. You know, God's amazing, and it's so hard for men to embrace the truth of God's word. And here's why that is, because we don't have a mind that has the ability to understand the infinite. Now, what we need to understand is what he's given us here. But you know, all my life, and I think you would probably agree with this question or this terminology, God is from everlasting to everlasting. God inhabits eternity. God never had a starting day. Now, that's hard for me to digest. But the Bible says he always was. He never had a time that he started. You know, I can somehow get an idea of something starting and maybe lasting forever, but how did it never start? God always was. He said, I am that I am, means he's self-existence. He was always there. God created man in his own image. But he placed him in the boundaries, in the habitation of those boundaries, as we're told in the 17th chapter of the book Acts, is time. You know, the boundaries is time with you and I. Time begins when you're just born from your mother's womb, and time will end when you close your eyes in death here. Or you die, the body dies. You live on, as that song we said. Somewhere you live on in heaven in the presence of God. But we live in these boundaries of time, and we need to understand one thing. We cannot think beyond the boundaries of this time. We cannot understand the infinite mind of God. Therefore, it's hard to embrace things. You see, what's happening in our society today, I believe, is when they take the truth of God and they turn it into a lie and they serve the creature more than the creator, it's because they decide to believe in God the way that they can think about God as a human being. They bring God down to their level, if you was, and they think of him in the terms of human beings, and God is not like us. God is separate from sinners. He's separate from each one of us. You know, he's always there. He's everywhere present, nowhere absent. He has all knowledge, past, present, and going forward. You know, he knows what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day and the next day. That's something hard to embrace, but that's the omnipotent power of God. It's the omniscience of God, the having that knowledge that you and I don't have. He knows. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God is sovereign. And that's why we can depend upon God's word as being the absolute truth. God has the absolute authority to govern his creatures or his creation according to the good pleasure of his will. And I tell you, we find in the Bible over and over and over that God does just that. God is not in heaven looking down upon men, young women, old men and old women, children. He's not looking down upon us with great surprise about what's going on. Matter of fact, what's happening today, as he told Solomon, is nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. He deals with the heart. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, that's where Satan comes and he tries to help us. We have a deceitful heart by nature. And he helps us along to believe lies a lot of times that are not true. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. He's not accountable. He's unaccountable to man. He doesn't have to explain himself to you and I. You know, when God created the heavens and the earth, God said, let there be light, and there was light. In the beginning, God created. He didn't have to have us to question what he was doing, to consider what he's doing. God is sovereign, and that just literally means that he has the rule and the authority over all things, that he inhabits the universe. He inhabits heaven, eternity, a place that he's given us great hope of. You know, we were created and placed in the boundaries of time, as I said, and you know, we were given this hope, the breath of life with breathing into our nostrils. We became living souls, and God created in his children a new heart, a new creature, and he's given the promise of eternal life. You know, you and I had a start, but we've been given a promise to never die, that death will never reign in our mortal bodies again. Yes, the body dies, but death has no power over you because you live on and on somewhere in heaven. Where could we go but unto the Lord? Why is it so many are going all over the world looking for answers to their problems when all they have to do is go to the Lord? He is our answer. He is intervening in the lives of people, helping people along their way. You know, we go to schools and we go to colleges and we go to professors and we go to all these things out there, and all those things are not bad in themselves. But there's nobody that has the wisdom and the knowledge of God. You know, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. That's what most young people don't get in life. They really don't. They're going to make a good living. They're going to enjoy this. They're going to do that. But I tell you, if God has given you the wisdom to grasp what life really is, you've been given a treasure that most folks don't have. Life is not about the castles you'll build, the bank accounts you'll build up. It really isn't, because life is so short. It's so brief and so temporal. We've been given a hope, and one day we're going to live in heaven throughout all eternity. This is nothing but a moment. It is. It's just a moment compared to what eternity will be, a place where you'll never change again. You'll never die again. You'll never cry again. You'll never have a sleepless night. I mean, on and on goes the list of things. Hallelujah, what a day that'll be. I mean, if you think about it and read about it, it's something to really look forward to. Because as we go through life, life is a struggle. It's hard. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Psalms 34, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But God shall deliver them out of every one. He may not deliver you when you want delivered, or exactly in the manner you thought you'd be delivered, but God promises to deliver. Because God knows the feelings of your infirmities. He understands where you are. He knows that you are dust, and he remembers you. God is not up in heaven with his head turned. He knows exactly what's going on. But when we think about salvation, when we think about the moral truth of God's word, we find a being that does all things according to the counsel of his own will. I mean, that's something you got to understand. Man's will is not under consideration when it comes to the sovereignty of God. It says in Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 11, whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, being predetermined according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. If you get nothing else out of that verse, I want you to understand it's after the counsel according to the purpose of him, that being God that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Our will is never under consideration when it comes to that inheritance. It was predetermined. Notice what it says in the first chapter. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. How was that done? According to the good pleasure of his will. It wasn't according to your will or your desire. Verse 9, Ephesians 1, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. You know, God's children so often get confused. They think life and eternal life is all about their will. But it's about God's will. It's according to Him that that works all things after the purpose of His own will. Not my will, not your will. God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. He didn't come down here and consult you and I, ask us what we thought He ought to do and how He ought to do it. God is perfect in His ways. He's perfect in His words. We're told in Deuteronomy 32 and 4, He is the rock. His work is perfect. His work is perfect. His word is perfect. His ways are perfect. You know, I don't know why we don't follow His ways more often than we do. I guess because we're sinners, I know that I don't. Because His words are perfect. His ways are perfect. You know, if you follow the Lord, I believe He'll bless you. When you honor God with your substance, He will bless you. He really will. He knows what you're doing. He knows the feelings and the thoughts you have concerning Him. He has absolute authority over all creatures. And he deals with them according to the good pleasure of His own will. God does as He pleases, only as He pleases, and always as He pleases. Think about that. God does everything that He pleases to do, only what He pleases to do, and always what He pleases to do. He never asked me, and I'm pretty sure He never asked you. He didn't consult any man. He didn't need it. God is perfect. His ways are perfect. He's a God of judgment. And all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is God. That's why the truth, we can count on it. God cannot lie. It goes against who He is. It goes against His character. We're told in Titus 1 and 2, in hope of eternal life. I think everybody in here has a hope of eternal life. Which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Promised before the world began. God never broke a promise. You and I have broke many promises, likely, to someone along our journey here in life. I know that anyone who has ever gotten a divorce has broke a promise to God, have they not? Because I've given out plenty of vows at weddings. I mean, and I'm not here to condemn anyone. That ain't the only thing we lie about. That ain't the only promises that we had made, haven't kept. That's how we are. But God is not like that. God is separate from sinners. God has never made a mistake. His ways are perfect. He inspired men to pen the words in this book, and they're perfect. There is nothing better for you and I in life than to read the Word of God. It deals with everything. God is autonomous. He is a law unto Himself. He didn't need us to help Him with those laws. God is unaccountable to man. God is not obligated to act or explain His actions. He's not. Think about Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34. You know, men have a real problem of thinking more highly of themselves than they should. We think sometimes that we're really something in this world, but in the presence of God, we are nothing. Did you know that? We are nothing. Verse 35 of Daniel 4, it says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed, that Lord means regarded, as nothing. Now, you know, that's hard for some people to swallow. All the inhabitants of the earth are regarded as nothing, and He doeth according to His will. Here it is again. We don't just have it in the New Testament. We have it in the Old Testament. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and there is none that can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? You know, we might say, why are you doing that? But I warn you not to question God in His perfection, not to question God and how He handles with folks. We know that God is sovereign, that God governs in the world. God has power that's beyond anything that you can imagine. Let's notice what it says in Psalms 145. In the 145th Psalm, in the 17th verse. If I can get over there. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. God can do no wrong. He's not like us. That's the biggest problem that men and women have in the world today, is we have a finite mind and we can only think so far. We can only broaden our horizon so much. We don't have that ability because our mind is not infinite. Our mind is not capable of understanding God. And that's why God is God. He said, I am that I am. He says, I'm self-existent from everlasting to everlasting. And you and I are never going to understand that. But there's much about God we're not going to understand. But God has given us in his word what he wants you and I to understand. Everything's there, accessible, as God intended for you and I to understand. You know, to say that God is sovereign is literally to say that God is God. You know, we're told in the 46th verse of Isaiah, 46th chapter of Isaiah in verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there's none else. And I am God and there's none like me. You know, men have created gods with their hands and in their minds and in their hearts. I am God, there's none else. I am God and there is none likened to me. You know, I think about what he says in the next verse, in the 10th verse. He says, declaring the end from the beginning. As most of you know, we've been told by a certain individual here in the last couple of months that the world is going to end in 12 years. I don't know if y'all heard that on the news. I'm not here to mock that, but I'm just here to tell you that I've heard stuff like this all my life. But the Bible tells me God in his sovereignty declared the end from the beginning. In other words, when he kicked this work into motion and time began with Adam and Eve, and as you and I know it, he declared the end then. And I'll assure you that life is sustained and the heavens and the earth are sustained by the almighty power of God today, right now. Right now. And they will be until he comes and puts this work to an end. Until he burns this earth and heaven up with fire, God will sustain us. I mean, we should be good stewards of what God's given us. But I tell you, this idea that we can do something to keep the world here longer, or you and I are going to cause it to go away, God declared the end from the beginning. He's the sovereign ruler who sits upon his throne in glory. All his ways and all his works, they're holy and they're righteous. He said over there, he said, I will do all my counsel. He said that. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times for things that have not yet been done. That's his omniscience. In other words, the things that hadn't been done, God knows what's going to happen going forward. Wouldn't you like to know what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day and the next day? In some ways you might like to, in some ways you might not like to. We might not want to know what's coming tomorrow or the next day. That's why the Lord says the day, the evil of the day is enough. The trouble of this day is enough. Don't look forward too much. And like I said, a lot of times we might not want to know what we got lying out ahead of us. That's how we're to trust in the Lord with all our heart. We're not to follow our own understanding because we don't understand God, but God understands us. We're to acknowledge him in all our ways, and he's promised to guide our steps and direct our paths as we go through life. God is involved in the affairs of man. He's not sitting up in heaven waiting to conclude this work and being surprised about what takes place. God is sovereign. We're told in the 13th chapter of the book of Romans that there is only one power, and that power is God. First verse. That all powers that be are subject unto God. There is no power above the God that you and I serve. No powers. Everything that has any energy form in this universe, any power, any ability, human beings, life forms, just any form of energy are subject to God. God inhabits eternity. He inhabits the universe. He's everywhere present and nowhere absent. This is the God that we certainly serve today. His sovereignty extends to every sector of this world. You know, let's look at God has control over the animals. Did you know that? He can command the animals. Let's go to 1 Kings 17. You know, God didn't just set Mother Nature out here and let it just go on and on and on. He may let some things happen randomly, but throughout the course of God's word, God has intervened in the animal kingdom, in the weather, in many, many other things. In the 17th verse, and we're told that in the 17th chapter, verses 2 through 4. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. Now, what happened was, Elijah had prayed that the Lord would cause it not to rain 3.5 years upon the earth. And do you know that God honored his prayer and he stopped it from raining for 3.5 years? You don't think God intervenes in the affairs of mankind? But he says here, get thee hence, and by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. God commanded the birds to bring food to Elijah in this great famine. God is sovereign. He has power over all things, all creation. He has authority, and he does with it according to his pleasure. He works all things according to his will. Not the will of men, not the will of any individual, but it's all according to him that purposes everything after his own will. Let's notice what it says in Matthew chapter 6. God takes care of the beast, the birds, just like he takes care of us. You know, in verse 26 it says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? In other words, God doesn't only take care of us. He takes care of all creation, all that he created, he takes care of. You know, we found over there that he can stop it from raining, you know. In Amos 4:7 through 10, he tells us that about the weather where God intervened. You know, there was times that God intervened in the Old Testament, and he stopped the sun from moving. I mean, God has that kind of power. That's why we can depend upon God. That's why we can believe what he says. We're told in Amos chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, it says, and also I have withholden the rain from you, and when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city, and I caused it not to rain upon another city. You know, everybody thinks that God lets these things be random, and God, and some of the rain we may have may be random, but I want you to understand, God either allows it or he causes it. God can withhold rain. He can bring famines. We're told in one of the books, I believe it's in Amos, that there will be a famine in the land, but it's not of drinking or eating, but of hearing of the word of God from coast to coast. There will come that time. But he goes on, he said, I caused it to rain upon one city, and I caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and one piece whereupon it rained not, withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew within your gardens and in your vineyards and in your fig trees and in your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. You know, God intervenes. He's not willing that any should perish, but that we should all come to repentance. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword. I tell you, God is not just sitting up there doing those things that we think he ought to do. God is sovereign in his jurisdiction and his authority over all creation. He's entwined in the lives of each and every one of us. But God is not only sovereign in the moral laws among all that are created in the earth, he's sovereign in the salvation of his people. We were told in Matthew 1:21, for she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. God in his power, he chose a people according to his own will, according as he has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Ephesians 1 and 4, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You and I will go to heaven according to the good pleasure of God's almighty will. That's why we'll go to heaven, not because you and I made the right choice, done the right thing. It was God's will. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath decided to do. Whatever he wants to do, he's done it. He has done his will. We need to remember that. We need to remember that God is sovereign. That's why it's so important to realize that the truth of God's word is truth. It is something that we can hang our hat on, something that we can look unto. Because God does things according to his will and not according to man's will. There are no other gods. It said, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. He said, I have spoken it. I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. This is the God that you and I serve. This is the God of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We can count upon our God because he is sovereign. He's unaccountable to any man or any other being. He has authority over the weather. He has authority over the beasts of the field. He commands them. He intervenes in their lives on our behalf. He intervenes in our lives sometimes with judgment. It's something that we don't want to talk about. You know, we talked about last week about a people who call good evil and evil good. And that people, if you go on over to the 30th chapter, they got to the point of telling the prophet, say, don't prophesy anything to us that we don't want to hear. That's what he's really saying. We don't want to be condemned and we don't want to be convicted. We don't want to hear it. Prophesying to us smooth things, things that we like to hear, good things. And he said, they went on to say, and remove the Holy One from our presence. It's hard to imagine that we could get in that condition again, isn't it? But God brought judgment upon that rebellious people. He intervenes. He is our Heavenly Father. He is merciful to us. He is long-suffering with us. He is compassionate to us. But he knows what's going on in our lives. He knows our thoughts. He knows what we stand in need of before we even think of it or ask for it. This is the God that we serve. He's not up there waiting for us to make the right decision or to do the right thing. You know, when God calls one of his children out of darkness into his marvelous light, it's immediate. It's not a process. You know, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me. Draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Men don't come on their own. Jesus said, you will not come to me that you might have life. But God predetermined to have a people. Had God not predetermined to have a people, there would be no one going to heaven. You know, the world believes that they got to do something to get to heaven. Problem is, ain't none of us can do anything to get to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't do enough good works to get to heaven. You can't say the right words to get to heaven. God declared before time began that he would have a people. And that he would do all that was necessary to bring those home to live with him in glory. Who are those that he drew to him? Those that were given to him by the Father. Those that were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Those who will obtain an inheritance. Why? Because they were predestined. They were predetermined. Their names were written in the Lamb's book of life. And now they dwell upon the earth. And they have a hope within them that keeps us going from day to day because of our hope of being in the presence of Jesus Christ. Man has always wanted to take the glory. But there shall be no glory. There shall be no glorying in his presence. God done it all, and we done nothing. He's in the heavens, our God is, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And aren't you thankful that it pleased him to call us out of darkness? Aren't you thankful that it pleased him to have a people and that he took every provision necessary to gather us up and bring us home? When you die, when your body dies in this life and you close your eyes, the body dies, but you live on, as the song said. You live on somewhere in the presence of God. a place that we all look forward to going to. He reigns and he rules in heaven today. You would think by the chaos that we see in this world that God is not ruling and reigning. But that's what they thought years and years ago. You know, he's long-suffering, he's patient. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of man is set in him to do evil continually. That goes for God's children too. You know, we still have that old evil nature in us. We have that old fleshly nature in us. When we don't get punished, we don't think we're going to get punished. But if you read the Bible, you'll find out that judgment came upon the Lord's people because of their disobedience. Because they didn't repent, they didn't turn from their ways. May God bless us to turn from our ways and to honor him with our lives in every way that we know. To always know that God is sovereign. Don't just say it, realize it. God is sovereign. He is intertwined in our lives. He intervenes in our lives. When we pray to him, he delivers us oftentimes. You know, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And I think most of you can attest to that. Afflictions are a part of life, but the Lord says he delivers us out of every one of them. He delivers us, and one day he's going to deliver us totally out of them to his, in his presence. May that be the great and glorious day, and may the Lord come quickly.